The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good evening, and Merry Christmas. It's a joy to welcome you to St. Margaret's, and I have to tell you that, as my wife can attest, I enjoy a big crowd. The more people who are here, the more fun I have, and the more energy I get, and all that, so I love a big crowd. And it is no offense, it is nothing personal, but my favorite part of Christmas is when all of you leave. Not because of you. I love you, you understand. It's just that in this season that is so busy and so hectic and so fraught with peril for all the mistakes that it's possible to make, and God knows I've made a lot of them, I look around at all the things that aren't yet done, all the unfinished business, all the work that I think is so important and so critical to get done, and I'm not even close. And I come to this time of year at the end of this season of Advent and preparation, and I think that I sometimes confuse being busy with preparing. And I sometimes think that if I just worked harder and did more and accomplished more, maybe somehow then I'd be prepared for the arrival of my God at Christmas. And it fails me every year, because I'm not ready. There is nothing ready about me. There is nothing ready about our congregation. There's nothing ready about our culture, our world, our church. We are not ready. And yet, ready or not, here comes the Son of God, born in a manger. And what I love about that time, and I know that many of you, my fellow introverts, will love this too, is that when you get out in that cooler air, and you look up at the stars, and you see that clear night sky in the middle of the winter, that darkest night of the year, and you see those stars, and you realize how many of them there are, and you realize how small and how insignificant we are, and yet, in all of this expanse of space and beauty and creation, God loves me and God loves you with all God's whole heart. Miracle of miracles, for reasons that are beyond my own comprehension, and all of that, despite my unworthiness, despite my unreadiness, despite my insignificance, despite the evidence that we're just not getting right, and you need only look around at the news over the last couple of weeks and you realize we're just not ready for the reign of God. Ready or not, here comes God to us as a child in a manger. One of the great gifts that I think that we have out of all of this is that God enters our own story. God, who is eternal, enters the human story in the form of a baby to experience the things that you and I may imagine in our hearts are beyond the comprehension of our God. To imagine, well, you wouldn't know tough times. You are, after all, God. You wouldn't know what it's like to wonder why you exist. You wouldn't know what it's like to wonder if you're going to survive. You wouldn't wonder what it's like to be hated, to be betrayed, to be unloved. Can God possibly know that? If God knew that, would God still love us? And God enters that human story, and for all the many gifts we get this time of year, maybe one of the best gifts that we get at all is the fact that we are reminded by that entry that in fact we have a story. That we have a shared human experience, and that we are called to go somewhere, and we're called to be something, that we're called to be restored to the image of God and restored into the very heart of God. My friend and my colleague Troy Mendez preached yesterday about a number of topics of interest in our community and our world, and one of them was this notion that we are created to be in community with each other, and that part of living into the story that we're given is to learn better what God has called us to be in relationship to each other, that we're not just these agents, independent agents just born with absolute independence, totally disconnected from each other, totally disconnected from the world, from any hopes, from any aspirations of God, that rather we play a pivotal role with each other in forming the body of Christ, that we become a new thing in our relationship with this incarnate God, with this baby who comes to us on a night like this. It is so tempting for us Christians, especially those of us who have a bit of a sentimental streak, to think of Christmas in magical terms. It's a season of magic. If I see one more television commercial or promo or Manny the movie guy floating in on a cloud, you know, waving his little wand and sprinkling dust on everybody, this magical notion of Christmas, that's not what it's about. Christmas is not something that takes us away from the drudgery, from the pain, from the betrayal, from the brokenness of the lives that we live. On the contrary, Christmas is the day when God becomes most vulnerable and enters us in the beginning of our own story in the form of a child. When I got up this morning, I was going through my little ritual, and I turned on my computer and started reading some of the news, and I like to flip through the little videos on CNN to see what's going on. And there was a story, I love these, some of my favorite stories are the ones taken shot from the dash cam video of a police car. You know, and the deer hits the car and all these other things. Well, this morning it was a horrifying story. This has a happy ending, I just want to tell you. It was a horrifying story. You could see the still photo of the video was a shopping cart rolling down a hill toward a highway. And when you run the video, what you see has happened is that you're seeing from the point of view of a police car that is looking down away from a shopping center where someone has put a child in a shopping cart and the shopping cart began to roll away. And it starts to roll down towards a highway, a busy highway where cars are going to be coming fast and no doubt hit that shopping cart. And you see from the dash cam, the car races towards the highway and the police officer positions the car in the middle of the intersection, in the middle of a highway to prevent anyone from hitting the child. Fortunately, no one was injured in this. As I'm watching this, I thought, I can't believe they're showing this video. This is absolutely horrifying, except, of course, that it has a happy ending. But as I watched it, I thought, what an image for Christmas. What an image of this helpless child being shot into this horrifying Bambi versus Godzilla situation, this world of sin, of death, of the accumulation of wealth, and of the suppression and exploitation of the poor. That God comes into it that way. If we have any sort of sentimentality about us and think that maybe God doesn't know who He's talking to, we people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Because God, that great light, joined us where we are and how we are, as helpless as we are. And God became man so that man could become more like God. God came to be with us and become one of us to change what it meant for us to be human in the first place. God comes into the middle of the worst of times. Did you catch this line out of our traditional Christmas reading? For the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. Merry Christmas, everyone. That's the world you and I know. That's the kind of violence we see every day. That's the world God comes into and redeems it and calls it into His heart. What do you do with that on this Christmas evening? Well, I want to invite you to do what I'm planning to do. I'm going to wish you Merry Christmas. I'm going to go home. I'm going to stand out and I'm going to look at the stars and I'm going to consider how amazingly abundant God's love is, that in all of this beauty, all of this creation, that God loves me, that I'm absolutely beloved, and so are you. And I want to invite you to consider engaging the struggle that is being part of the people of God by entering that struggle, facing the failures, facing the hurt, facing the betrayal, facing all the things that go with attaching your hopes to something or someone. Do all those things, because if you put your hope in a God who created you, loves you, sustains you, and is with you to the end of the age, nothing ultimately is going to separate you from that love. That's the message that we get tonight out of that story of a baby born in the worst of times. The story is not over. It's our story, and we're called into it. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He shall establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. Thanks be to God, and Merry Christmas. Amen.